Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 22 of the Crick Picks podcast, in which I, Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter, and Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle underscore Vasudev, the number one on Twitter, and Jared Kimber, who you can find at AJaredKimber literally everywhere. In this show, what we do is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five of that category via a snake-style draft. And what that means is that the turns go 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. So that would be the order. The topic is best slow ball bowlers in the history of cricket. And first pick in this one goes to Estelle.
Okay, so I'm going with the Sri Lankan. I don't know if a lot of the people listening will remember him, but Dilhara Fernando had a fantastic slow ball. He used to use
the split finger. At number one.
Not the other obvious Sri Lankan. But she's gone for Dilhara Fernando.
I think it was it's a unique slow ball, right? That's why I'm going with it. Because it's not, you see a lot of bowlers bowling the cutters and stuff like that. But I think it was a time where slow balls weren't used that much, right? Or not as much as they are now. And just the way he was able to kind of change his grip on the ball right before the release made it a really effective change-up for him. So I'm going with him at number one.
Interesting first pick. I did not have him in my list.
he's on my list, but he's very far down. I did think he was a good bowler. He's not the best slow ball bowler from Sri Lanka, though.
I can tell you a fun story. I was at an ODI game versus Pakistan and Sri Lanka at the Gaddafi, and he was 12th man, Dilhara Fernando. So every time he'd go out with the drinks, I'd be like, Fernando, because I was really close, and he wouldn't look. And then one time I went, Dilhara! And he was like, oh, hey. And then he waved back.
Because there are thousands of Fernandos in that team, right?
Yeah.
Every other person is a Fernando.
That was a fun moment.
The Fernandos. Oh, my God. Who's second? Is it me or is it you,
yes,
Behram?
Yes, it is you, in fact. I'm third.
Oh, this is easy. Ian Harvey. Ian Harvey kind of changed the game and doesn't get the credit he deserves. And he was one of my favorite players when I was a kid. I've actually got a signed Ian Harvey shirt, which I think is still with my parents, actually. Just a phenomenal bowler of the back of the hand slow ball. He could bowl the other slow balls, but he didn't really feel the need of it. But you're talking about a guy who bowled 130 kilometers an hour at most, and probably 125 kilometers an hour, who bowled at the death for Australia. I think that tells you what level of a cricketer he was. He was known for his slower balls, and I think he probably paved the way for so many cricketers that we see today, guys like Dwayne Bravo and Andrew Ty, and you know, all those sorts of guys who have followed on, Pef Lukwueo, who are slower ball specialists. That just wasn't a thing that existed before Ian Harvey came through, and I'm very biased as a Victorian in his direction, but I do think that he was bowling slower balls at a ratio in the 90s that people are just catching up to today.
Yeah, he definitely made it mainstream, right? Even though Steve Waugh is the kind of a cricketer that comes first to mind when you think of introducing the slow ball, but I think Harvey made it mainstream and he was high on my list.
Steve Waugh didn't introduce it. You're going to have to wait if you want to know who introduced
it. I actually do know. I do know. His name starts with an F. Doesn't it?
There's two slow balls, two different bowlers. Steve Waugh is the first one. We can get to him because he might come back up. Steve Waugh had a great slow ball.
Anyway, I have two picks now.
Yes.
I'm happy that you guys have gone for the people that you've gone for, Dilhara Fernando and Ian Harvey, because none of those guys were going to be in my first two. My first pick is what I thought Estelle's might have been, Lasith Malinga. One of the best slow balls I've ever seen. Lots of dip, especially the slow ball Yorker. I think that is something that Malinga perfected. If you remember the 4 and 4 that he took versus South Africa, I think he got callous with the slow ball, if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves me right. And he just bowled it with such consistency and such accuracy. And Malinga's slow ball Yorker has made some of the best batters in the world look like absolute amateurs. Even when he wouldn't bowl the slow ball Yorker and just like a back of a length slow ball, he'd still find a way to, you know, breach through defenses and hit the stumps. So I think that as, and with that action as well. So people could never tell where that variation was coming from. The action was pretty much the same, and he was really, really hard to pick. I do think that Malinga is the best slow ball bowler I have seen in my life, which is why I think he is my number one pick.
Yeah, it's certainly the best Sri Lankan one. I think we'd all agree on that.
Estelle, you have any words on Malinga?
No, I agree. I think, he should have been number one. I had to screw up at least the first one or the last one, right?
I love how often we screw up the first pick on this show because it ruins the entire draft and it makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, for pick number two, I'm going to go with the king of off-cutters, Mustafizur Rahman. And I think the Fizz has really, really made cutters hip. This is a guy who could, if he wanted to bowl north of 140 clicks as well. It's not like he can't do that in his prime. But his claim to fame were his cutters. And he's the sort of bowler who would deliver the delivery and the batter would be like heaving it to, mid-wicket or glancing it towards, a square leg. And they would find the outer edge of the bat and it would kind of balloon into the hands of a fielder. That's the dismissal that I think of when I think of Mustafizur. And it's just that even after all of these years, he is still difficult to pick. And if you remember early days, Fizz, right? Bangladesh whitewashed Pakistan, South Africa, and beat India in an ODI series at home, all because none of those batters could read Mustafizur Rahman. And I think that when it comes to, seam bowling bowlers from Bangladesh, based on the small sample size that we have, you end up with Mashrafi Murtaza and Mustafizur Rahman, and I think Mustafizur Rahman wins that battle. And I'm picking him right now because I fear that he'll be picked by someone before I get another turn. So yeah, quite happy with those first two picks.
He would have been my next pick. I remember doing an article on him last year or the year before, and I had all this super slow motion footage of him, and I was sending it through to another player who's famous for their slow balls. And this other guy, I remember him saying to me, what he's doing doesn't make any sense because when he takes his thumb off the ball, he gets more revolutions on it. And generally, to get more revolutions on it, you keep your thumb on the ball. And then there was another ball I showed him where he's basically bowling a very similar ball to like Murali, which is a back of the hand slower ball, but kind of inverted again, like as an off spinner. So almost like a Dusra. It doesn't come out like a Dusra. He doesn't have the elbow he needs for the Dusra or anything like that. But the wrist comes over in that way. And this guy's just like, this is just unhuman. We're inhuman. When his slow ball was at its absolute best, I don't think anyone's ever bowled a slow ball better than him. And I would include Malinga there. But Malinga was better for a lot longer. And Ian Harvey was better for a lot longer. And the other guy, we'll skip. But if Mustafizur's, I think it's his shoulder that goes. So there's a famous old English cricketer called Bob Appleyard, who has one of the greatest bowling averages of all time. And Bob Appleyard bowled very similar to Mustafizur, and his arm just completely deteriorated because you should not be trying to bowl pace and revolutions at the same time. And I think Mustafizur's had a lot of very similar issues in his career. And that's the only thing stopping him from being the automatic number one. And he's back in form again, so who knows? But peak young, that period when he was incredible, never seen anything like it before or since.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is me, isn't it?
Yeah, you're back.
Now, this is easy, Benny Howell.
Of course. Of course Jared was going to pick Benny Howell. When I was doing my long list and Benny Howell came, I was like, I wouldn't even bother because at some point Jared's going to pick him.
Look, Benny Howell is the best bowler of slower balls ever because he's mastered the most different slower balls and he's invented the most different kinds of slower balls. So Benny Howell can bowl a knuckleball, but he can also bowl a knuckleball that swings away, right? He can bowl a back of the hand slower ball and he can bowl another back of the hand slower ball that spins in. Like he really has every different... His normal cutter is actually an off spinner. Because he takes it to another level. And you talk to him about this sort of stuff. And he's like, if you say something to him about, what about this? He would go off and he'll play with the ball until he can work out if he can do it in a game. And I was lucky enough to get him in front of super slow motion camera and have a look at it up close. He just is remarkable. And, Ian Harvey could bowl 130 Ks if he needed to, right? He had a decent Yorker. Benny Howe's struggling to get to 125 at his absolute quickest. And Benny Howe doesn't have a fast Yorker. He doesn't have anything else other than slower ball stuff. He really is probably more of a spinner than a slower ball bowler just because he puts so many revolutions on the deliveries. Mm. And the fact that opposition players still go, he's rubbish, and then he gets them out. He had a record. His record was similar to Rashid Khan's. And he's a friggin' medium pacer from Hampshire that no one wanted. It's ridiculous. And the other bowlers that I really respect that probably won't quite make this list, like Rajat Bhatia, Santokhi from West Indies, and Adam Holyoake. I think we've actually now had three or four bowlers like Benny Howe, but Benny Howe is by far the best of them. And because of his personality, he's such a thorough person that, like, you know, if you say to him, have you ever tried this, he will just go off for the next 2 days, and that is all he will try. And he, you know, if it works for him, he'll use it in a game. And, you know, anyone who says he has 50 slower balls, most bowlers have, like, Ian Harvey really had one. Mustafizur had two. Malinga had one. Fernando had two. To have 50, that's just next level.
I'm surprised how Benny Howell hasn't gotten more franchise contracts, honestly. Mm. Like, how he's not played more T20 cricket across the globe is something that baffles me, because that is the format.
Well, people just think he's a shit medium pacer because he looks like a shit medium pacer. Like, I get it, but no one can hit him. Even if he is a shit medium pacer, just go with that.
Yeah. Anyway, Estelle, two picks for you now. Time for you to redeem yourself.
Yeah, I think this is a bit of an obvious choice. Dwayne Bravo. Yeah. I think it becomes obvious because of the amount of overs he's bowled in the death, right? Particularly in franchise cricket. Just the way he's able to get the ball, it's sometimes like a quick off-spinner, right? The way he gets the ball and the lengths he uses when he does bowl the slow ball, I think helped him be one of the most successful death-over bowlers we've seen over the last decade or so. So, that's a pretty obvious pick, right? Guys can't make fun of me about that.
I expected him to. That would have been him to go in this round.
A very respectable number one pick that would have been.
I just didn't rate him ahead of Malinga and Mustafizur, which is why I didn't pick him. Otherwise, he was one of the obvious candidates. And I think the dip with Bravo is also important over here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I just want to talk about the dip for a moment. So Bravo, when he played, when I was with St. Lucia, so it was like my first week on the job, and I'm pretty sure I'm getting the players right, but I think Mark Chapman was facing him. And Mark Chapman came up and he went up to Brad Hodge and Kieran Pollard and he said, the dip. And so what happens is when the ball comes out of Bravo's hand, the first instinct that you have in your mind is this is coming at my face because it goes up and towards you. And then it comes down and it usually lands pretty much on a good line and length, right? Like, he's very accurate with it, but it has that much dip. And we've seen, there's famous examples of this as, you know, Chris, someone ducking Chris Cairns, and that happened with one of the early ones. So we know it happens. But when Bravo is at his best, the amount of revolutions he gets on the ball is incredible. The problem with Bravo is that, and this goes back to Mustafizur, to be able to get that many revolutions on the ball as consistently bowling the cutters, it does actually, you can't do it all the time. Your fingers don't allow it. Sometimes it's your wrist, sometimes it's your elbow, sometimes it's usually something just gets a bit sore. And so there are periods when Dwayne Bravo isn't bowling at that same level, which is different for someone like Ian Harvey. The back of the hand slow ball always gets the same amount of revolutions. But yeah, I think he's absolutely fantastic at it. He's also got, and this might sound weird, but he's got like this little fake slower ball, where sometimes he rolls his fingers slightly to the side of the ball to make it look like he's going to bowl a slower ball, but he actually bowls on pace. So he's actually deceiving with his slower ball and his faster ball at the same time, which is just another level, absolute genius level bowler. To be, again, he's slightly quicker than Ian Harvey. He probably got to 135 and could get to 140 if he really had to, but mostly bowled around 130, right? Like 130 to 135, and yet was a death bowler who played in the hardest league in the world for years. So, incredible.
If you look at early Dwayne Bravo, he was actually pretty fast, right? He could get it to nip. And the way he transformed himself as a bowler and kind of maximized his skill set for T20 cricket, and then took he has 500-600 wickets in the format. He is probably the most decorated slow ball bowler in T20 cricket. So I think, I'm surprised he didn't go higher, actually.
You had two chances to take him.
Well, I mean, I do rate both of those guys ahead of him.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are analysing every part of our game. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is really happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket8.com is your place for cricket intelligence.
Okay, so for my next pick, I'm going with Bumrah. I think we get caught up so much in the Yorkers and stuff, right? But just the variety he brings, particularly with the slow ball. And again, he's another guy who gets that kind of dip, right? When he does bowl the Yorker length slow ball. He's already difficult to get away with being able to bowl quick and being able to bowl at the stump so well. But when he adds that extra dimension with the slower delivery, I mean, I think we can all admit he's the best. I think we already did an episode of Crick Picks where we call him the best all-format bowler, right? So this is just one of the deliveries, one of the variations, I think, that makes him that best bowler.
I think he's the first guy we've mentioned here who doesn't need to be a good slow ball bowler to be great, and yet is. And he's, because of that, he probably doesn't bowl as many slow balls as Bravo or Mustafizur or, you know, Malinga and those sorts of guys. But, you know, you look at what he's even done in test matches. He's... McGrath and Zahir Khan are probably the only other two guys that were really a threat with the slower ball in test matches, and they were usually against tail-enders, whereas Bumrah could do it in a test match against, you know, Sean Marsh, right? Or Ollie Robinson, who's been batting for 2 hours, or whatever that may be. And you talk about I think he gets even more revolutions than Bravo does, and sometimes spins the ball more than Bravo does as well. Look, he's absolutely great. And the only reason I wouldn't have him any higher is some of these other guys are slower ball bowlers. And he's a great bowler with great slower balls. His slower balls might even be better than theirs, but he's not as dependent on them as the other guys.
Yeah, plus it's so well disguised, right? Nothing changes in the action. And if you look at the wrist, the close-up on the wrist for the slower ball, there is so much like work and skill being put in over there. And two dismissals in recent times, Bumrah's slower ball dismissals that come to mind is the Rehan Ahmed one. And then Mohammad Rizwan in the ODI World Cup, which were both like absolute peaches. And I think that, again, he doesn't rely on his slow ball as much. But as far as like quality goes, that slow one is as good as it gets. I mean, if I had him available for my next pick, I wouldn't need to think twice because it's just that good a slow delivery. And we've mentioned, like you said, Estelle, time and again, that he is, according to all three of us, the best all-format bowler currently. So I'm not surprised that he also has one of the best slow balls as well in history.
It's me now, Estelle. Is that right? Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to go Franklin Stevenson.
Mm-hmm. So there's the one.
I'll let Bayram explain that.
He's someone who did not play a lot of international cricket, but is the person who kind of, you can credit him as being the pioneer of the slow delivery. There's a wisdom piece on this that I briefly skimmed through, but I'll let Jared take over from here.
Yeah, he was he played in the Rebel Leagues in South Africa and basically ruined his West Indies career and ended up becoming an English professional. Probably as good a bowler as he was, maybe wouldn't have ever been, you know, wouldn't have been able to get one of the great three or four fast bowlers out of the side anyway. And so he went and played professional, and as often happened in those days, they would make you bowl hundreds and hundreds of overs, and he was exhausted. And so he started bowling off spin. And then one day he was like, well, why couldn't I just bowl off spin, but with my fast action? And the first time he did it was, I think if I'm remembering correctly, it was one of those moments where the ball went up, the batter sort of started to duck it and then got bowled, or LBW or whatever it was. And that is the birth of the cutter. So, you know, of Bravo and Malinga and Mustafizur, Bumrah, all those guys, Franklin Stevenson is where it started. And he was so successful with that delivery that it went all the way through cricket. I could have also put Simon O'Donnell here. So Simon O'Donnell is the guy that invents the back of the hand, pioneers the back of the hand slow ball. I should say that both of those deliveries existed before. So the old English bowlers, as I said, Bob Appleyard probably bowled cutters. And there are a lot of English bowlers around the 50s who bowled cutters, but they weren't bowling them to bowl it slower. And the reason was is people weren't trying to smack them out the ground. So slower balls really come in towards the death when Franklin Stevenson starts to bowl them. And, you know, he starts that revolution. Before then, you know, seamers were getting quicker, right? And hitting the wicket more and, you know, and bowling Yorkers. And he's the guy that takes that in a completely different direction and pioneers that and is so good at it that it is done today. So Franklin Stevenson certainly deserves to be on any list here because he's a big part of it. And I'm going to, if I was cheating, I would say that is a Franklin Stevenson / Simon O'Donnell pick because Simon O'Donnell did the exact same thing about a year and a half later for the back of the hand slower ball. And so those are the two guys that really made them, and Simon O'Donnell, not a particularly great bowler, but because of the back of the hand slower ball, went on to have a very long career. And I tell you what, if he was around the T20 days, he would get paid a lot of money. He could hit a very long ball as well, Simon O'Donnell, very good bat. So those guys deserve to be mentioned on this list because of what they did for this art form.
Okay, but Simon O'Donnell is not on this list. Franklin Stevenson is. So you cannot be cheating over there. But it's good that you've kind of educated us about the prehistoric picks over here because all the fun stuff is about to start now.
That, but the funny thing is that it's not that prehistoric for this one, is it? It's not like we can go back to the ye olde days. It is a modern art.
That's true. All right. It really gets interesting now, right? Because the big ones are all gone. And I think my next pick is a bit of a hipster pick. I am going a bit left field over here, but I feel like this guy just doesn't get enough credit for his slower ones. I'm going to go Tim Southee. And he actually has the most T20 international wickets in the world. And I think a lot of those are off his slower ones. And another cutter that is hard to pick. And he's someone who always gets brushed under the radar. But I feel like he has been quite effective over the years. And out of all the names that I have left over here, I felt like Southee deserves some airtime over here. So I don't know. Go ahead and murder me.
Estelle?
I didn't have him in I have 17 names. I don't have him.
I had 20. I reckon I have 25 names and he's not on my list.
Okay, well.
I think it's because he's not known for his slow ball, right? It's not
Well, that's probably because of his test career, right? If you look at his T20 career in isolation, particularly T20 internationals, there's a lot of slow ones in there. Change of pace is kind of his thing.
More so than Andrew Tai. Ngidi, there are guys who are known for their slow balls. It's a weird pick because I'm not sure he's even a very good death bowler. I know that you like that he takes a lot of wickets, but he's not even a frontline IPL bowler. It's probably still not the worst pick that we've had so far. you love Tim Southee, so you're living your best life, and what more can we ask?
Yeah, and we'll let the people in the comment section decide, I suppose.
It's a shame Tim Southee's not active on social media because I would love him going, dude, what?
My next pick is also a bit of a rogue pick, but this is not as rogue as Tim Southee. People who have watched this guy bowl will probably understand why he's on my list. And recently I was doing a video for Pro Sports in which we were building our perfect bowler. And this is the guy who I chose for the slow ball, particularly because I want someone who is a back of the hand slow ball, perfectionist. And I don't think anyone bowled the back of the hand slow ball better than Rana Nawidul Hasan. This is someone who was bowling that back of the hand delivery when it wasn't very common across the circuit. And then he also got an extended franchise T20 career run, in which that was one of his primary weapons. And it was very deceptive. And the ball would just kind of hang in the air for 5 seconds before it actually got to the pitch. It was very unique in that regard. And it is one of the better slower balls I've ever seen. In fact, it is the best back of the hand slower ball, according to me. And for some people that might be rogue, but it's not really for me.
There's a couple of random guys. Do you guys remember Clint Mackay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Clint Mackay had a very similar late career to Rana Naveed in the and it was the exact same delivery because the back of the hand slow ball is really easy to pick, but because of the amount of you get so many more revolutions than you do on anything else. So it actually goes up above your eye line and then back down. And then because Clint Mackay was tall, it would bounce massively. So it could sometimes come back up to your chest. And it just made it almost impossible. And so there's a couple of guys like that I think are very, very interesting. And even some other players like Jade Dernbach and Tamal Mills, who get a lot of flack, who are still absolutely brilliant at those deliveries. I think you could kind of pick any one of those guys. Yeah. I don't think Rana Naveed's back of the hand slow ball is better than Ian Harvey's. But I think it's within touching distance of it. And in that sort of period, when after Ian Harvey goes, the backhand hand slow ball sort of dies off a little bit. And it really is that sort of Clint McKay run under the guys that sort of bring it back a little bit. So I think it's a very, very good one. I mean, it's incredible that you started so strong and you decided to lose this draft for no reason. But good on you for sticking to your own beliefs.
All right, then. I mean, maybe there are a lot of Tim Southee fans who come to my support in the comments. Who's to say?
Yeah. Famously,
but I think Rana Naveed would be better known for his slow ball than Tim Southee, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, I could have gone with I thought of both of them for this turn, right?
There's absolutely no doubt that it's a better pick than Tim Southee. there's no one disagreeing with that one. All right. I am next. I am going to go. I'm going to go Andrew Tai. So we know that Zahir Khan, we know that Adam Holyoake really starts the knuckleball craze, but no one really catches on with it. Only a handful of people from Surrey ever really try it, and then it disappears.
Charles Langevelt was someone who was good.
Yeah, I was going to say Charles Langevelt, and then Zahir Khan bowled a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Andrew Tai is a club bowler, right? Good club bowler. Who ended up with an international career and an IPL deal off of one delivery. And I think that he bowls 130 Ks an hour. He's a little bit tall and he's a little bit accurate. He should not be whereas Charles Langevelt and Zahir Khan were going to be in international cricket anyway. And Adam Holyoake was a batter, right? Andrew Tai is the first guy who makes his career off the knuckleball. And it is really from the moment that Andrew Tai bowls it that everyone starts bowling it, that it becomes really, really popular. And I remember him first bowling in the Big Bash and just being like, this is incredible watching what this guy is doing. So I think he's an absolute, I think he has to be on this list again because he doesn't have any other skills, right? Like if you compare him to Rana could bowl a good Yorker.
Yeah.
Right? And he had one other... He had one other option. Even Ian Harvey had one other option. And Benny Howell had 73 other options. And Tim Southee could bowl outswing. Is Andrew Tai the only guy on this list that kind of had one delivery? Right? And the only other thing you could do is he would bowl back of a length and hope sometimes you'd hit him straight up in the air. And eventually that caught up with him. But he had a bloody good career out before everyone worked that out. And I don't think he's... On overall talent, he's nowhere near... the level of talent as the rest of these bowlers. And I think he was only there because of his slower ball.
I think as far as USPs go, he kind of really mastered it with the slower ball and that alone. And like you said, really didn't bring anything else into the game. So based on that, sure, I'm fine with him being on this list. But he didn't make my list because I just didn't rate him. Although your logic makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think if you looked at peak Andrew Tai before everyone worked out a little bit more about the knuckleball, no one could hit him. As he got on, people worked it out a little bit more, which, to be fair, doesn't really happen to Ian Harvey or Dwayne Bravo, right? Like if you're looking at other similar sort of slower bowlers.
Yeah. All right. Who's next?
I've got two.
Estelle's going out, isn't she?
Yeah, last two picks for Estelle.
Okay, so Jared mentioned Zahir Khan. I think he will be my number four pick. Was it in the 2011 World Cup where he really had a lot of success with that knuckleball delivery? And it was kind of unique in the sense that not a lot of bowlers had bowled it in international cricket regularly at that point. And he's a guy who had a lot of other skills, right? So just adding that to his arsenal, I think, was just took his bowling to another level.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think he definitely deserves to be on here. I thought he was a fantastic bowler in that sort of stuff, and probably not going to be remembered as much for it as he should be, but because of all the great Indian bowlers that have come since him. But he was a fantastic bowler. I know we did the other one about the actions. He was when Bayram said his action, I was like, yeah, he should have been on my list as well.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite cricketers of all time.
Yeah, definitely. Great action. And also that slow ball, I think you mentioned earlier in this podcast that he would use it in test cricket as well, which is rare, right? Plus, 2011 World Cup, ODI World Cup, is when Zahir was at the peak of his powers. He was leading wicket taker as well, with 21, I believe, was tied with Afridi. And he had some wickets off slow ones in those 21, if I can recall correctly.
Okay, so my last pick, I'm going with Tamal Mills. Another left-armer. And I don't think you can really say that he's he kind of saw the amount of success he should have in international cricket, but he was definitely one of those guys at that period where he was doing really well, where he was one of the best death bowlers in the world, right? Didn't really translate into international cricket, but he was definitely in the conversation. I think wasn't he picked for Mumbai at that point as well, but injuries and, you know, he couldn't really get going.
I think the problem with him is he got overpaid for the IPL, struggled in that season, and then probably never had a great England run. But if you look at him in, you know, overall, he's been a fantastic bowler. But he's one of those slow bowlers, and you could put Jay Dernbach in this as well, that probably at their best they were unhittable, and probably at their worst they were incredibly hittable. And so there are going to be some people going, why on earth have you got Tamal Mills on this list? And there are going to be other people going, yeah, he should have been higher. And it really does depend on which Tamal Mills. If you've seen Tamal Mills in full flight, when he's fully fit, he's absolutely unplayable, because his fastest ball is 150 kilometers an hour left arm, and his slowest ball is 95 kilometers and with incredible revolutions on it. And I think he's a very fair player to have here, but you will get abused for this one.
The difference between his fastest ball and his slower ball is immense, right?
Yeah.
What, 40, I think 50 only him, clicks?
So him and Unric Nourkia, I'm pretty sure, and it's hard to tell, but I'm pretty sure that those are the two guys with the biggest differentials. And it's essentially, if you are putting in the amount of revolutions they are on that back of the hand slower ball, it just has to slow down. But the fact that they can bowl it sometimes slower than Rashid Khan, and then they can get up to 150, 155, you know, and Unric Nourkia maybe even faster than that, is, you know, that is bizarre. You know, you have to think about it. You're almost going from playing a bowling medium pace in club cricket to the world's fastest bowler the next ball. And I think that helped Tamal a lot, is that differential, right? But it's a brilliant ball. It really is.
Yeah. All right. You're up, Jared. You're in last pick.
I think there's two really good bowlers that we've missed off that I think deserve to be on here. I am going to go, I'll go Glenn McGrath. I think Glenn McGrath, he pioneers the split finger slow ball. Hello, Dilharo Fernando. and he that comes out of, I don't know if you guys know the full story about that, but that came out of, there was a Major League Baseballer from Australia who was a catcher, and he was having a chat with Glenn McGrath and said, have you thought about doing this? And they went to the nets, and he stood up behind the nets with his catcher's mitt and took Glenn McGrath's deliveries, and then said, try this grip. And that, so essentially McGrath did invent, although I suppose, I don't know if he can invent it, but he certainly invented it from a cricket point of view, stole it from baseball. And that ball went on to be quite good. But if you go through the history, there's a lot of like iconic Glenn McGrath moments, which are slower balls. And which, you know, he was brilliant with the split finger slower ball, but he also had a very good cutter for a long period of time. And I think a little bit like someone like Bumrah, because he was so good at everything else, we have forgotten how many great slower balls Glenn McGrath bowled. You know, if you compare him to Courtney and Curtly and Wacker and Wasim, none of them had a slower ball anywhere near McGrath's level. And I think if McGrath played now, his slower ball would be much more on that sort of Bumrah level. He would bowl it a lot more and use it a lot more, but he didn't have to. I thought he was absolutely fantastic at what he did. And so I'm going to slip him in at number five.
Yeah, no, I'm totally fine with that pick. Also, the Dilhara slagging off was an interesting turning point in this podcast. I'm really confused with two people over here right now. One is recency bias, because Mohit Sharma has been a terrific slow ball bowler in the IPL. And the other one is personal bias, because as a kid watching England play in Pakistan in 2005, the Test series, Shoaib's slow ones were absolutely devastating. Like, the English batters just could not pick them. And you know what? I get sworn at a lot already on good areas, so I'm just going to go Shoaib. Because it's a part of my childhood that I enjoy extremely, you know, watching Shoaib bowl those slow ones. I think he got Michael Vaughan with a slow one in which he was, you know, completely baffled or befuddled, whatever adjective you want to use. And it was just one of the, it's similar to Estelle's pick of Tamal Mills, that even though Shoaib discovered the slow one very late into his career.
Yeah.
For the vast majority of his career, he did not bowl it at all. But when he did, it was just such a stark difference in pace, right? Either you were express or you are ridiculously slow. Like, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go YouTube Shoaib's slow ones. They are very, very slow, right? So I think that with minimal change of action was just brilliant to watch as a kid. And I'm sorry, Mohit, you probably objectively deserve to be here ahead of Shoaib, but I've just pulled off a bare arm once again.
Well, if you look at McGrath, Shoaib, trying to think, Zahir Khan, all those guys, I think if they played in this era, they would all be much more known for their slow balls anyway, right? And a lot of it is the era that they played in. So if Shoaib in 1999 came in and bowled a slow ball, the captains would have punched him in the face, right? I remember even when McGrath used to do it, the commentators used to be like, what are you doing? Just bowl Glenn McGrath. And so you have to understand that that period that they came up with, when Shoaib worked out this slow ball, it was fantastic. And had he bowled it all the way through his career, it would be really interesting to see what happened. Whether he becomes a little bit like Tamal Mills or Jane Dernbach, where he would have, because it was so effective, it might have ruined his fast bowling a little bit because he might have got a bit obsessed with it. I don't know. But when he bowled it, it was brilliant. And, you know, it was a great delivery that really worked really well for him. Mohit Sharma has been in and out of the IPL and has showed a couple of great years of slow balls. And, you know, this year he's, you know, by the time this episode comes out, we'll know if he's had a good year or a bad year, but he's bowled well at times and bad at sometimes, right?
Up until this point, he had a really solid first 2 weeks and a terrible 2 weeks after that. That's where we're at with Mohit Sharma.
So I've got Mohit Sharma on my list. I probably would have gone him ahead, but I think there's another bowler that we've missed that I think deserves to be on this list more that I thought you were going to go, which is Jofra Archer.
I had him in my list.
Yeah, because Jofra Archer is one of the things I like about Jofra Archer is that he can bowl the back of the hand slow ball and the knuckle ball. And I do like guys who can bowl multiple slow balls. And that's what I like about Mohit Sharma. He's very good with the cutter and he's also very good with the back of the hand slow ball. So I like that combination of those two different things. But yeah, you'll get that. So I just want to get back to Jade Dernbach is not on this list, right? Jade Dernbach has a fantastic slow ball, right? And I've said this before, Jade Dernbach, and I've told Jade about this, he changed my career because it was looking at the way people talked about him was why I started looking into advanced statistics. And I've seen his advanced statistics. He was absolutely fine on advanced numbers. He was just absolutely terrible when you look at normal statistics, which are flawed, more flawed than advanced statistics, I should say. But yeah, so I think I just wanted to point him out. And you've also got other guys. There's some other modern guys like Mohit that are interesting. Harshal Patel at his absolute best does what Estelle was talking about before, the ability to actually spin the ball. Andile Pathlacueo, I think Andile Pathlacueo is another Andrew Tyre type bowler. The man would not be able to bowl in cricket without slower balls because he has no other skills at all. David Visa, another very, very good bowler of the slower balls as well. Nathan Ellis is a guy coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he's I think is through. Interesting.
And on Ngidi, my long list.
I think if Ngidi had been fit all the way through his career right now, he would be on this list because I think I could have taken him ahead of Tyre or McGrath if he just played more cricket. And I don't know, there's a couple of others too. There's a new sort of slow ball bowler coming through, and Keswick Williams is the first version I've seen of this. The guys who bowl the leg cutters, they run their fingers down the other side of the ball. That's a real skill to be able to bowl. And there's a few guys coming through that can do that as well, but that's most of my list. Oh, and I can't remember who Chris Cairns, I think it was a random English wicketkeeper. I want to say Grant Jones, but it wasn't. It was someone like Grant Jones. One of the many Grant Joneses that there have been in that era. That he had the slower ball where I think Grant Jones dropped it. So if you've ever seen footage of someone like ducking under a slower ball, Chris Cairns was one of the first ones we ever captured. As I said, Franklin Stevenson did that as well. But yeah, those are the ones for me. Have we missed anyone else from your list?
I can recall some goated slower balls. I'm not sure if these bowlers use the slow ball as much or not. You mentioned how the ducking under the slow ball thing happened. Courtney Walsh has done that as
yes,
well.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, and that was really funny. You talked about the leg cutter. Well, Aqib Javed bowled one to, Mark Greatbatch. in the 92 World Cup. That is one of those deliveries that always makes it to highlight reels. And yeah, I mean, in hindsight, if I could go back, I'd probably replace Tim Southee with Mohit Sharma to win this goddamn thing. That would probably be the saner call. But other people in my list were, of course, Steve Waugh, who didn't make it. And then James Faulkner. I don't even think we've mentioned his name at all.
No, that's another good one. Yeah. He's fair as well. He's kind of another forgotten cricketer. He's overcoaching the IPL now at the moment, isn't he? It's funny how many of those guys who weren't particularly great cricketers but have great slow balls have gone on to be coaches.
Yeah.
And it's because if I was Ian Harvey, I would just call myself the slow ball coach and just go around the world coaching everyone on how to bowl them. Because Ian Harvey, for those who don't know, so I've got him at number one. He also coached Benny Howe.
Oh,
so Ian Harvey is literally directly linked to my top two picks and was an absolute genius. There's another one that we forgot, which is Merv Hughes used to bowl a leg spinner as a slower ball. So everyone else bowls a wrong'un and Merv's used to go the other way. A lot of people will mention Steve Harmison because of the delivery he bowled to Michael Clarke in the 2005 Ashes. Steve Harmison had a terrible slower ball. And if you don't believe me, believe Steve Harmison, who is on the record many, many times of saying he had a terrible slower ball. So there's another one. Have you got any more, Bairam?
I mean, Haris Rauf has good variations, really good change of pace. Really, I think his slow one is actually one of the reasons why he was so successful at the death as well in T20s. Late career, Abdul Razak developed a good one as well. Those are my ones from Pakistan. And then Charles Langevelt, right? He definitely should be talked about as well because as far as the knuckleball went, he was right up there. But Faulkner and Harvey, right?
Faulkner. We hadn't even mentioned Faulkner. My God, his career went so poor. Hey?
We just talked about Faulkner.
You talked about Franklin.
No.
I did? Faulkner. Oh, yes. Then my bad. James Faulkner. Yeah.
I thought you said Faulkner.
I did say Faulkner, but James Franklin is also true.
Okay. Faulkner. So
massive confusion. But Faulkner is another player of the mold of Ian Harvey, I would say, no?
Yeah. And again, his career is probably more like Tamal Mills or Jay Dernbach in that period when...
I was thinking who James Faulkner is coaching, and then I was like, I don't know, maybe Jared knows something. I don't know. And now I'm like, okay, James Franklin is what he thought. Of course, he was good as well. But Faulkner's back of the hand slow one, right up there, right?
Yeah, at its best, it was absolutely brilliant. It might have had the best peak of any back of the hand slow ball, but it was like a 2 or 3 year period, and then his knee went, and he could never do it again. No, he's definitely worth mentioning. He's a fan. I won't get to do it this IPL because I'll run out of time, but I've always wanted to do a big feature on how he was the best cricketer in the world and then he was one of the worst cricketers in the world within a small period of time. And I don't think we've ever seen anything like that before. So yeah, I think that's another one. I did mention him briefly before, but Krishmar Santokhi, the West Indian who again bowled at about 120 kilometers an hour and made it to the IPL, which is ridiculous. And did I mention Nathan Ellis?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I think Nathan Ellis is really good. Have you got anyone else, Estelle?
Yeah, actually, he wasn't in my top 15, but Sean Pollock, didn't he kind of pioneer the slow ball bouncer and used it quite a bit, right, in the 2000s?
Yeah, might have. I mean, I know it was a big thing in county cricket, probably because the pitches are softer and slower. So, but yeah, you're right. Sean Pollock certainly did that. That ball's just kind of died, hasn't it? Do you remember that was the thing? And there's this like, it just doesn't exist anymore. It's a, you know, how much that changed. Yeah, but no, Sean Pollock, I think you're right. That sort of... And I think Courtney Walsh might have had a version of this. It just wasn't as slow of like rolling your fingers on a bouncer. And so the batter goes through their shot too early. Anyone else, Estelle?
No, I think we looked at everyone who you were talking about. I think James Faulkner is probably the big one we missed, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm okay with that because it was only like a 2 or 3 year period that he had it.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, you're right. He probably should be on the list. Ahead of Tim Southee.
Oh, well, at least we've gone through all the names that we had in our long lists and people can decide on their own in the comment section.
So, I like how the ribbing went from Dilhara Fernando to Tim Southee. So
I rescued you, Estelle.
People always do that though, too. They say to us, oh, you didn't mention that, whatever. And I'm like, yes, we did. We didn't put them in our list. We mentioned so many people. we could sit here. We could go through everyone who's ever bowled a slower ball.
Yeah. They only look at the snippet thing that, I think Ishit creates or whoever creates at the end, which goes through all 15 picks quickly. I think a lot of people,
I think, puts that one together.
Yeah, Junaid puts that one. So maybe they just look at that one because we try and mention all of the you know, people who missed out as well. But
can
anyway,
I ask Estelle one question before we go?
Oh, no.
Best women's slower ball.
I wouldn't be able to pick one. I'm not sure I can like think of someone who does bowl a slow ball very often.
Yeah, Marazan has a good one occasionally. Mm. Who's the, I forget her name, the ginger-haired South African woman who bowls it. She has the worst slow ball. I hate her slow ball so much. There are some bowlers, and Steve Harmison was one. I reckon Fernando was one. If you're watching their wrists, they change their wrists sometimes when they're bowling. He didn't. Fernando didn't do it for the split finger, but he sometimes did it for when he would bowl other slow balls. And it's like she does that, and you could see her wrist change before, and she's like, "No, don't do it." But yeah, it's interesting that women's cricket hasn't got to that level where it's as
important.
Don't you
think
I've seen some very good ones.
But it's a lot to do with the fact that we don't have footage of as many, you know, women's, like if you Google best slow balls in cricket, I know Behram would have seen this because he mentioned quite a few deliveries from those videos, but there are so many YouTube videos, right, of the top 10 or, you know, really good slow balls. But with the women's game, I think it's only now that we're seeing a lot of the footage going out on YouTube and being accessible,
no, I think,
right?
I think I've seen enough women's cricket to know that it's not as much of a trend in women's cricket. And I think part of the reason is that spinners still bowl quite a lot at the death in women's cricket. And so the people who are bowling slower balls are actually spinners, you know, like Jess Jonathan and those sorts of players. Yeah. So I think they eat up a lot of those overs that would be used by a Peth Lekwueo or an Ian Harvey or a Dwayne Bravo type bowler. And so I think there's a part of that. The other thing is that because there isn't because women don't have as big, very big hands. So Tamal Mills, I said to Tamal Mills, you know, you're great with the back of the hand slower ball. If you get one other great slower ball, you'll be a star. And he's like, I've got very small hands and I can't bowl the knuckleball and my cutter just isn't good. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to factor that into some of the women's stuff as well. That might be part of it. But yeah, I couldn't think of one at all that I thought was worthy of entering in here. And that's a really, really interesting trend. And over the next 5 years, I think slow balls will get a lot more popular in women's cricket. And de Klerk certainly bowls a lot of them. So there are other women coming through that are bowling a lot more of them now. It's just, I don't like hers. I'm very picky with my slow balls. It's not for me.
All right. Well, everyone who was watching, you guys should let us know in the comments who you think won this draft. Go over the picks quickly, Jared.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Estelle went Dilhara Fernando, Dwayne Bravo, Jasprit Bumrah, Zahir Khan, Tamal Mills.
She's recovered really well after the
night. I don't know about the Mills one. Because Mills is so divisive. If she'd gone Faulkner instead of Mills, she might have pulled that back.
Yeah.
Bayram's gone, Lasif Malinga, Mustafizur Rahman, Tim Southee, Rana Naveed, and Shoaib Akhtar. And I have gone Ian Harvey, Benny Howe, Franklin Stevenson, Andrew Ty, and Glenn McGrath. I think the Stevenson-Ty thing in the middle for me. Again, Ty's another one like Mills. I think they both deserve to be on the list, but people will remember them at their worst rather than at their best. And so that might do us over. But we shouldn't lose in a list that has Tim Southee.
Well, that's what the people decide. They'll let us know in the comment section below. And of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, give us a like on YouTube and subscribe to both this channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. And for all of our written content, podcasts and videos, you can go to goodareas.co, bookmark it. That'll be your one-stop shop for all things that we do as part of our team. That'll be it for this episode. We'll catch you with another episode of Crick Picks next week. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.